What features?
What features should we do first?
Do the Dean Wales one.
Well, we don't even know what they are, so we're going to leave that to you.
Let's have the email.
Okay, this one's called...
Is there a jingle?
Yeah, there is, yeah. I'm just kind of just have a little sip of Rioja.
I can't believe I opened the good bottle for you, though. I've got $4.99 ones under there.
Right, this one's called Email of the Week. Good jingle, that. It's from Damien Rushton.
Is that his name or where he's...
Yeah, it's
his
from Damien.
What's your name and where you're from?
It's not Damien in Rushton.
Oh. Damien Rushton.
It's Earthly Borough again now.
Is this the lad that Damien bought
Rushton
a season ticket?
Yeah, Damien Rushton is one of the children of the new Barry Webber era, of the new fans we've been
with. How old is he? 17,
18? So similar just to us, mentally young, but... the email.
I don't know.
And this was sent before last night's game. No, you won't. He's a new new
player. I know Damien.
He's a nice fella. He's
a gardener.
He's a gardener. A bit of a whirlwind sort of a character. Mm. Lovely fella. Lovely fella.
Is he on Facebook?
He dresses up as brick walls occasionally.
Yeah, he dressed as a brick wall at York last year. He's good. Anyway, his email was sent before last night's game, and is titled "Why I'll Give Teddy Two More Games."
Two.
He's a season ticket holder as well.
And he had one. And he had one last night. So let me read the email. No, I don't mean two more games at the helm. Two more games in charge of this, his first appointment as manager. I mean two more games until either of the following needs to happen. One, we improve our performances and results in league games. Or two, Teddy changes his excuses. Listening to Teddy address the media after our loss against Cambridge, the Stevenage manager told BBC Three Counties Radio, "We're still early season." This comment got me thinking. I just couldn't see how nine games could be considered early into the season. If asked the question,
20% of the season gone.
If asked the question, when does early season end? I would have to put this in the range of 3 to 5 games. But I like to think I'm
percentage
fair.
Terms, yeah.
I like to think I'm fair, and as a new season ticket holder this year, I want to see Teddy do well. I therefore propose that if each team plays 46 games in a season, then we could divide the season into 4 quartiles. The second and third quartiles are the bulk of the season, with the fourth and final quartile being late season. Based on this, the first quartile, or early season, ends after 11.5 games. This leaves me to conclude that Teddy better get thinking of better excuses after this week.
Okay.
Cheers, lads. Love the show. Damo. I'm not entirely sure Damo's ever listened before.
No.
So to say love the show is very kind.
I don't know him.
It's Steve Wright.
I don't know him, but he's got a very nice guinea pig.
Yeah, he's got a nice guinea pig. Yeah. He looks a little bit... No, I'm not going to say that. He's going to sue me.
First...
Good email, all spelt correctly.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it was my point on after Saturday. Well, we're 20% of the way through the season. You know, as every game goes by, you know, that's another couple of percent of the season gone.
Yeah, so...
Don't look at me like that, Watkins. I've been brought up on percentages and win ratios,
and
okay?
And quartiles.
I didn't know what a quartile was.
So Let's take the Dean Thompson approach to determining how quickly you can judge someone. At what point in the season do you think you can, you know, fairly assess whether or not it's worth continuing along the same path?
Well,
if Damien's picking out a quarter of the season as a period, which
Steve was mocking me a few minutes ago with my 10-minute rule, but I get gut feelings, and I had an argument with one of the, you know, with Dan on Borough Chat today, who, you know, works for the club, and I'm saying it's a fact that I don't think it will improve. He's saying, no, it's just your opinion.
Well, it is an opinion. It's not a fact.
I've got a gut feeling.
So it's not a fact.
Yeah, that's another word for opinion, Dean.
Okay. But
so you're wrong, yeah, to start with. Well done, Dan.
Apologies to Dan then. But I just don't think it's going to work.
Right, and so it's current. But you're already past that point then.
You don't need to wait until...
So Damo's picked an arbitrary
and do you know what the difference?
The season, whereas...
Looking at the difference between now and Gary, I felt sorry for Gary because I believe he had the players to do it. And
did
they,
you?
And they were, some of them were absolute shysters to him. Whereas here, I don't think he's got the squad nor the players to do it. And the core of that squad walked out the door in May. And some of them, yeah, weren't good enough. And some of them, you know, we saw one last night in Chris Beardsley, it would give you everything. You've got John Ashton, would give you everything.
Said
you
like Beardo got the biggest ovation.
He got the biggest ovation of the night. Annie went over and won his £5 to go and applaud the East Terrace. Darius Charles would give you everything. Biradin Belly would give you everything. You know, players like that have walked out the door. And for me, it ain't acceptable that we let
one thing
13 or 14 players walk out that door.
One thing I will say with Teddy Sheringham, I think he's been pretty honest in what he says in an interview.
Yeah, I mean, what did he say at Barnet? It was crap.
Yeah,
you'd never hear Graham say that. But okay, so he knows it is, but it's getting crapper.
Okay.
How did you feel going back to Cambridge and seeing Mark Roberts in a Cambridge shirt?
I didn't go. Couldn't bother.
Oh, I thought you were going to go.
I was going to. I got up Friday evening. I said, oh, I might go to football tomorrow. She said, yeah, yeah, been for a while. Go along. Got up Saturday morning. She wasn't very well. Little boy wasn't very well. She said, oh, we're only going to lay on the sofa all day watching Toy Story and that all day. Why don't you go? And I thought, I can't be bothered to drive to Cambridge.
I cycled to Cambridge.
Okay.
I was insane.
That is what I do.
I was in Sainsbury's at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon.
I'm not going this weekend.
I'm not going this weekend.
Could do a fine day. Can't avoid.
It was a slightly loaded question because
I've seen photos.
How did you feel about it? You followed him around the country for 2 or 3 years, not bothered, moved on.
I was told he wasn't very good.
I love Mark Roberts, and I just think, well, as we all do, Stephen is legend.
I think
absolute gent.
Leave it there.
And I didn't.
Yep.
No, I've got no comment about his play. I don't.
We had his best years, and same as Schumacher. It sort of feels like the same as Schumacher's doing here. As he's probably picked the team that offered him the most money for his last payday.
I had a chat with him after the game. They're expecting twins.
They are indeed.
Ooh.
And
boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl. He's fully aware of that. He was exactly what you'd expect him to be on the pitch. He was exactly what you'd expect him
to be. What's his beard look like, more importantly?
No beard.
What, clean shaven?
Clean shaven.
Oh, he'd started to grow a beard. Me and his wife have been on him.
And Mark Roberts is Mark Roberts and will always be for me.
Yep.
But, he's
got her own a living, and I wouldn't want to see him playing in this team.
Absolutely.
It was slightly out of the question because, obviously, he's come from Fleetwood, and I saw
Saturday Manager's Day.
Thank you. You've spoiled my punchline.
Oh, man.
So they last season had a remarkably high shots to goals conceded ratio. This is the spirit of Graham Wesley in the room now speaking. They went the whole season last year taking 12 shots per goal they conceded. Nearly 12 shots per goal they conceded. This year it's down to 5.5. So they're conceding goals twice as frequently from shots as they were last year. They have got 9 points from 10 games. And today they sacked their manager. And it just seemed quite just fitting that these things are all connected. There's obviously no relation to them, no relationship between them all. But it makes for a good narrative. And you talk about
it always classifies
teams,
me.
You always talk about teams having spines, and Mark Roberts was always a pivotal part of that spine. And I don't know that this year we've got anywhere near a spine of a team, and you've let a fair few of them go. And this is what prompted the conversation in my mind when you said you've seen quite a few players go out in May who otherwise could have featured in their spine.
Mm. And but the other day, didn't Teddy say the other day that he had a hand in all the players that went?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
No, I don't. I believe they'd gone before he arrived.
Yeah.
I think they had to tell them a certain number of days after the Southend game.
Something like that, yeah.
And that went on for a little bit, didn't it? So it was either he was in before he was
before announced, or Wallace did it.
Or, yeah.
Well, he's got plenty of excuse to get out of that, so it's not an excuse. He's not using it as an excuse.
I would interpret that as if he genuinely did have a hand in it, but he wasn't here before he'd formally signed up. Yeah. They said to him, we've got these options on these players. We're going to let them go unless you shout now.
Could he make a decision on Birid Dembele? He'd never seen him play.
Phil made a decision on Birid Dembele. He'd have to pay him more money.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to let these players go unless you shout. And he's not got enough information to do that. It's not a point of this team who's going to be able to advise him properly. So, yes, he's had a hand in it. And he's going to say, yeah, I'm making my own decisions. But realistically, he's not going to be in a position to judge that properly.
I heard that news about Alexander leaving Fleetwood driving home, and it just got me thinking, is Fleetwood the next Stevenage, Dagenham, Crawley? The sides that get into League One can't sustain it.
What's those sides that have money thrown at them and then the money gets pulled?
Can't sustain it.
It's a slightly different scenario insofar as they've got there through an injection of cash, whereas that's not really how Borough got into this situation. But in that situation whereby he's been there a while, they're in League Two, they probably, like we did, consider themselves quite fortunate to be in that position. Surely that's jumping the gun. Because any new manager come into that situation, I'm just going to remove ourselves from the Borough situation now, any new manager come into the Fleetwood situation is going to have is going to want to get time to set himself up to find the rhythm with the team he's got, and you're going to struggle with that, and you're already on the back foot.
My first reaction when I saw that something was that harsh.
So then you transplant that into Borough situation,
and I wouldn't,
where
I wouldn't,
as you said earlier, you've got so many things changing around, so much that's loose and sort of difficult to quickly know you what's it to that. If anyone new came in, unless they, as you say, Steve, earlier, really experienced and were easily just going to slide into a situation and grab the bull by the horns, you're not going to get a quick solution to whatever you perceive to be the current problem.
Yeah.
It's going to take time.
Yeah,
and
my issue is almost
you might end up with another sort of experimental situation. I remember the day when I was last on the podcast when Gary Smith got sacked, and we were talking about who the options were. Yeah, there are never a plethora of options. You never got your freedom of choice to say, oh yeah, we'll have him. Yeah, there's not a lot out there, and so you're either backing yourself to say this is our new philosophy and we're going to see it through as an experiment. If we get relegated, we get relegated.
My issue with all this is less the playing side of it. Is not Teddy Sheringham. It's not youth team players. It's not anything else. It's the massive change in the club, the lack of direction, the lack of affiliation that I now feel. With this club, and I've always felt with this club. People go, oh, it's because you're too close to Graham Wesley and blah, blah.
Yeah, people have accused me of that.
I've always felt very, very close to this football club, and it's easy to say on things like this because you guys understand and everybody that listens understands. It's difficult when you get in from a game last night and your wife goes, what's the matter? And I go, I just feel a bit sad. What about football? Oh, good. But there's something now not there. And it's something that I'm afraid you can't buy with Premier League experience, with famous faces, with injections of cash, with whatever else. It comes with time, with affiliation with players, which we're not going to get with 1 month loan players on the regular, with managers, who we're not going to get, because I can't see this lasting long. This was kind of doomed to fail at the start because Someone put it on the forum the other day, I can't remember who it was, and I couldn't have agreed more with it. Teddy Sheringham will have no more than 18 months as Stevenage manager, because it will either continue like this and he'll get the elbow, or it'll be really, really good and someone will take him. He's not going to be here for longer than that.
And that's
and somebody really like vociferously argued against it. Yes, he could be here for forever. How? In what world is Teddy Sheringham going to be here long
it's
term?
It's not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to be. So you're not going to get that affiliation with him. Certainly not from the way he appears to be conducting himself with the press, whatever. I haven't listened to anything that he's done so far that's made me go, cool, listen to a bit more of that. We're not going to get it with 1 month loan players. We're not going to get it with people on the board who are never going to connect with the, I hate the phrase, with the working man. You're not going to get that. You're Barry Webbers of this world, who are used to dealing with boards at West Ham and Newcastle and the Premier League. I'm sorry, Barry, I don't care what you say and what you said to me when you come here. You don't understand this football club. You don't understand football at this level.
Understand the league? Yeah, this
you
is
don't
the thing.
Understand all that. And that's not even a negative reflection on you. You're clearly a very professional guy. You're clearly very well qualified and whatever else. I don't know what you're doing here, because I don't know what the step is from working at a very decent level within a Premier League club to being here.
And you touched on loanees earlier, and I know it's Dean's pet topic. I thought at the start of the season that this was going to be the model we were going to go down, but like an MK Dons type of route. But you still got to have a manager constituent together, because these are temporary players.
I like what we're doing with loanees. So when I say 1 month loan deals, I like that we're getting in for a month and seeing if they're any good and then extending them. I'd rather that than get a Duffin in for 6 months.
Yeah,
but all that's going to happen then is you're going to keep coming back to the situation where your lineup is going to chop and change.
No,
every
I'm assuming that these 1 month, and maybe I'm being kind, I'm assuming these 1 month loans are all with caveats that they will be extended if we want to extend them.
Well, I'll tell you one loan deal which I don't particularly like or understand.
No, I mean, I know what you're saying.
Is the goalkeeper. I mean, we've got him on a 6 month loan. That doesn't even take us to the end of the season. So if we're pushing for playoffs,
it's mental, Steve.
If we're pushing for playoffs,
mental.
And he's been, our player of the season. Chances are we wouldn't have him.
Did I read today's only training with us 2 days a week and the rest of the time at Fulham?
Possibly.
He's out at half time. Practice kicking.
I'm going to say it, Dean. What we heard at Dagenham.
Yeah.
It didn't come from anybody within our club.
No,
so
somebody who I don't know, but he was a goalkeeping coach.
I don't even know who it was.
Description.
He did tell us, and it was quite impressive.
Works for the FA and stuff.
What he told us was that Joran, whilst he's at the club, will play. And that is part of the loan deal.
Well, we laughed, didn't we, when we read about him? Because he went to Cambridge on the Friday and went home on the Sunday, didn't he? Because he didn't play.
Yeah.
But I said it last night on the forum, he isn't better than Chris Day, aged 40. He isn't better than him.
It kind of worries me because...
End of story.
It kind of worries me because I want to talk about where we move forward, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. So let's go into your last feature.
It's a really quick one. Is it to call it a features...
Well, it's got to be quick because we're running out of time, because we haven't got too much left on our card.
Okay. This feature is called, and it is just a title, and the game is just a one-word answer, is Dean Wells on Twitter this week?
And the answer is?
No.
No.
further reports next week.
Okay.
Next week, who am I kidding? Further reports in 6 months' time.
So here we are, we appear to be going downhill, we've got beaten badly by Mansfield. How do we move this forward now? What do we do Saturday? Dino.
Well, people are quick to say, oh, but Joran hasn't been in fault for any goal. Chris Day goes in goal Saturday. Ronnie Henry goes to right back. Fraser Franks and Dean Wells go into the centre of defence. Conor Ogilvie, according to Paul Dandad, will be back on Saturday. You play Tom Pett left, you play Chris Weldale right, you play Dean Parrott and you play Tom Connolly in the centre.
Dean Parrott's injured though, isn't he?
I think according to Dando, he'll be back on Saturday. And then you play probably Dippo up front, and you seriously need to do some work this week to get another striker in. Hitchcock is not for me.
Williams is not for me.
Well, it's my view is it don't really come down to what.
It's not the players. It's what they're coached and what they're told to do.
Yes, but beyond that, if you're asking me, I'm sure you will at some point. It's
well, actually,
that I think you should. If you're tennis showing, you've got to pick a run of three, maybe four games where you're going to try to select. You're going to say, this is the team, this is the style I want to play, and you're going to try and pick the same team.
But I think he's done that, hasn't he? He did that Barnet to Cambridge, and he made. Oh no, he rung the changes. It was from the York game to the Barnet game. He didn't make a change, did he?
What, in three games?
No, from York to Barnet, I think, right. He didn't make a change.
But you've got to get a run at it rather than just not going one game without a change. Because
I know, but...
Because at the moment, you're changing the composition of the team. You're not going to get any consistency in terms of what the players are expected to do. You're calling him out for not having...
He needs to make those players absolutely crystal clear what his expectations are of them. Those midfield two last night didn't have a scooby. We weren't defending in the midfield whatsoever. We were defending last line.
But if you end up the next time you end up changing that the composition of that midfield two, you've got to re-educate them. They've got to get used to each other again.
Not if it's Parrott and Conlon who know what they're doing.
Yeah, all right. So you're still going to get those two playing together for a number of games.
Yeah, I agree. Well, but it seems that Schumacher and Hughes will play come hell or high water.
One change from Stevenage to York, from Stevenage York to Barnet Stevenage, Schumacher in, Jeb out.
Both our wins came without Schumacher in the side.
And positionally, everyone was in the same positions?
Yeah, that's copyright of Pete Heyman that told me that.
What was?
That Schumacher was missing both of our wins so far. So he hasn't been on the winning side, so his points per game ratio is very, very low.
I want to see change. I want to see us going back to what we know works, which I think means Chris Day goes in goal.
Yeah,
I think he's got
a set of front line.
I'm not convinced that Dean Wells is the best centre half in the league, but he works.
Best centre half we've got.
I can't accept that people are saying he's solid because he's got big mistake in him every game.
He has. I think he's.
At least he'll run back and try and redeem himself.
The two games I saw this season, he'd improved vastly on last season. Yeah. I didn't think he was that bad last season.
I was surprised when he was left out.
He looked good. Yeah. He's done enough to earn himself a two-year deal, so it makes no sense at all to drop him.
Right back is a difficult one because I like Fraser Franks there. Because I like the fact that he gives us attacking options, which we are...
You don't drop Ronnie, but I'd move Franks into the centre with Wells. From what I've seen of Mark Hughes, I've not been impressed yet. That's not to say he won't.
Left back's a bit of a problem because you've got a chemo and you've got the lad from Tottenham, Ogilvy.
I want someone in that team who I could look at and go, I trust you to do something. Even if it is just to ball someone out if they do something wrong. Last night, there was so much.
There was
where you'd want somebody, and you, it's
there
so
was
easy,
head shaking last night.
It's so easy to hark back to the past, and
I don't want to see head shaking. I want to see balling.
Yeah, I want someone when Schumacher puts that ball out for a goal kick from the worst free kick thing ever. I want someone in his ear. When Mark Hughes kicks the ball out for a throw, I want someone in his ear. When there's no one on the front post, I want someone in their ear.
Love him or hate him, that is what Simon Walton used to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote it on the forum today, Agent Eves on the forum today. At the moment, is Schumacher worse than Simon Walton? And yes,
yes he is.
From what I've seen,
yes he is.
Yes, he really, really is. Because whilst Simon Walton didn't have the best of times here, he did let people know when they'd done things wrong.
He took responsibility. And he did, but
he did get some stick for that because 9 times out of 10 he'd been doing stuff wrong and balling other people out. Yeah, but
yeah. It used to annoy me when he pointed and like pretended he hadn't passed the ball.
When you're bringing through these youth players, who's in our team now that's putting their arm around these youth team players like Simon Walton used to? Right. Dean Wells seems to be doing it on Twitter when he was on it.
Ronnie, that's it.
Ronnie, I would assume, is doing it. But there's no one on a pit on the pitch. Simon Walton, every time I saw Simon Walton play last year, he would be doing something. When Kennedy was in that team, he would always have his arm around Kennedy. When Kennedy was overexcited and getting himself into situations, he'd be helping him
by the collar.
Ronnie did do it last night. All I saw last night, when Kennedy come on, he looked like a little kid at Christmas, didn't he? He was so excited and he was so worked up. He came over and the first thing Ronnie did, actually, the ball had gone out, I think we had a goal kick, and the first thing Ronnie did was call him and just say, just calm it down a little bit. But there's no one else. There is nobody else in that team that I would look at as a leader. Not last night, I would look at as a leader.
Mark Hughes is the captain, he's no leader.
It worries me.
You know, you were talking about our friend Richard Collins has been giving Barry some on Twitter, and Barry hadn't replied. Well, Barry has replied.
Before you read that out, it's interesting.
In four tweets.
Everything's obviously happening because Lawrence Henry, the Stevenage Supporters Advisor Board Chairman, has also tweeted some questions for us, so I'll read those out as well.
Evening, Richard. Indeed, fan engagement is extremely important to me, hence why I read all comments made and often invite fans in to meet me at the club and discuss things in person. I would be more than happy to extend this invite to you and spend time talking through your concerns whilst explaining our long-time approach. We can also talk through all that's been achieved off the pitch over the last two seasons.
Oh, don't want to talk about it, Barry. Not when we're getting relegated to the conference. Don't want to talk about what we've achieved off the pitch. Your tweet earlier on, what was his tweet earlier? Right, don't even... Right.
Longer.
The tweet
harder, faster and longer. Mate, it sounds like my sex life.
Jesus Christ almighty. The tweet that Johnny copy and pasted for us onto the forum earlier, where Barry had, I had to just pick apart sentence by sentence. This time in October last year, we visited Carlisle and it was 3-0 and we sat 19th in the league. And that was 1 year ago. Oh, sorry, Barry. 1 year on, we're 20th. So that cancelled your first point out. Ridiculous.
But you knew.
You're saying we've made these huge strides off the pitch. You're not playing them off the pitch. You're not playing them behind the scenes. You're playing them with a youth team and players who can't keep a ball on a pitch and put in a performance like you did last night. I don't care, Barry, Phil, Stuart Dinsey, whoever else, what you are doing off the pitch. I don't care because you're trying to increase attendances and you cannot do it. You cannot do it until my son is of an age to come and watch the football. It's not going to happen. I don't know how many times I've got to say it. Go down the Old Town at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon when we're at home and give out 2,000 free tickets. I bet your attendance wouldn't be up by 200. People don't care. You can't make people care. You can't make Arsenal fans come to Stevenage when Arsenal are away. You can't make Tottenham fans not support Tottenham and watch them in the pub to come and watch Stevenage because they don't care. They might come to a couple of games. It's still League Two football. Here's a shocking bit of information, everybody. I don't watch Stevenage because I like League Two football. I go to Stevenage because I've built an affiliation with them over a number of years and I've got a lot of friends who go here. I don't watch League Two football because I think it's good. People who like Premier League teams aren't going to come and watch League Two football. They're going to sit in the pub and watch Premier League football on the telly. Yeah. And Barry, I know you're not going to offer an extended invitation for me to come in and talk to you because we've had conversations and they go like this. I'm not interested in what you're doing behind the scenes. I'm interested in what you're doing in the community and that's it. I don't care what you're doing because what you're doing behind the scenes so far is ripping the soul out of my football club. Thanks.
You're sincerely.
Okay. I don't know what to add to that.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add to that is the time when you had to start beating fans off with a stick was when we were playing bloody good football in the conference in the 1994-95 season where people were squeezing in
Kidderminster, the old South Terrace,
and that was because we were playing interesting, exciting football and people having a great time when they came to the games, not because we had a 5-star manager, not because we had the biggest stand in the league, not because we had great offers to come through the gate and you could get your family in for £20. It was because they enjoyed the product that was on the field. Yeah. And that is what will keep people coming back. Yeah.
And the other thing about what you're doing behind the scenes as well is important little things like when brand new fans go into the club shop on the first day of the season and want to buy some training kit and you ain't got it. Is that what you're doing behind the scenes? Because that don't seem to be...
That's not right, is it?
Not brilliant, is it? It's not ideal.
Football is not like any other product. This is not Mothercare or flipping Virgin Atlantic. This is entirely different.
It's not the Premier League.
People are drawn to football clubs in the way that they're not drawn to any other type of product. And if you put a good product on the field, they'll come back and watch it. And that's all you need to know.
Right. Okay.
But only if you're interested in that club. You put a good product on the field at Stevenage, it doesn't mean that people who don't support Stevenage are going to come.
Yeah.
If Hitchin put a good product on the pitch, I don't think to myself, can't bother to come watch Stevenage, or Stevenage are away at Carlisle, I'm going to go and watch Hitchin.
Yeah. Luton are winning now. I'm not going to go watch Luton.
I go to football every other week because I support that team. What I do on the weeks when I don't go and support that team is all the other stuff I have to do with my life. Is the shopping with the wife, is doing the garden, is doing the decorating at home, doing bits of DIY. I don't go, oh, what other team can I go and watch? Because I don't care.
If you were Borough Albie, you probably would.
It's ridiculous.
We're running out of tape.
Okay. Where are we? In the 1980s?
We've got some quick questions from Lawrence Henry. Let's keep it quick because we are running out of time.
So obviously Barry's had a grilling on Twitter. The forum's been up in arms. Lawrence Henry, honest question for Stevenage fans. Many people are saying the club's lost its identity, don't feel connected anymore. Other than Graham Wesley, what's changed? What has made you feel disconnected from the club? Things on the pitch aren't good at the moment, but where has the club made you feel different? Let's talk. Right.
It hasn't lost its identity. It's made a conscious decision to change its identity. That's it. Its identity was largely attributed and associated with Graham Wesley. They decided to shift out. I didn't particularly like him, but that's definitely what Borough's recent identity was related to. Now, you've made a conscious decision to change that and go in a different direction. It's not been lost. They know exactly where it is. It's gone up the A1 to Peterborough.
These tweets from Laura, I don't know Lawrence, I've never met him.
No, I don't know.
I've never seen anything from the Supporters Advisory Board anywhere, and I know people on it. I haven't seen anything on the forum about it, really asking for opinions from anybody else.
It is quite.
I get the impression that those tweets have come because Barry's had a grilling, someone's had a grilling, and they've gone, can someone on Supporters Advisory Board who's down with people who support the club? We'll get them back on it.
Yeah, but they can't.
If you want answers to those questions, they are all answered,
isn't it?
Go to the thread on Borough Chat called "This New Era of Ours," which I accidentally started that genuinely had no hidden agenda that blew up. There are people in there who have written, sometimes in too much detail, what the issues are, and I've never. It's the best thread that's been on Borough Chat in years. Everybody in there, there's no arguing, there's no bickering. Everybody makes their points well. It's a very, very good thread for people at the club to go and read. If they genuinely want answers and they genuinely want to understand how fans are feeling on the internet, because if they're on Twitter, they'll go on Borough Chat. So if you want to understand that, read that thread. That is the only thread you need to read.
Was there another question from?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just the one.
It was one.
All right, James.
Just one question.
It's obvious that we've got to get together and do another one pretty soon, I think. It got a little bit serious. It was a little more serious than
I haven't enjoyed this as much as I did in the relegation season.
I thought I was going to laugh tonight.
You haven't laughed once. I've done all my best lines and everything, harder, faster, and all my best gags on that.
Not in the mood to laugh. Though.
No,
not in the mood to laugh.
In the loo with Phil.
After what I've seen in the last three games,
I was in the toilet with beer down at Barnet.
Oh, God. Okay, well, we'll leave you with that thought. Dino was in the toilet with
Phil Wallace.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Thanks, Mark Edwards.
Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Leave your money on the way out for the wine.
We'll do. We will be back at some point, hopefully in the not too distant future.
Buffy. A load of Toffee.
Saw the return of Graham Wesley as well to the Lambing. Looked a little bit feisty at times, including some exchanges with the dugout.
Well, he's always got plenty to say. Most of it's a load of Toffee.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee.
I went, nor did we! Yeah,